Jack Tear or the Florida Reef by James Fenimore Cooper. Chapter 5. The gull has found her place on shore, the sun gone down again to rest, and all is still but ocean's roar. There stands the man unblessed. But see, he moves, he turns, as asking where his mates. Why looks he with that piteous stare? Dana. Superstition would seem to be a consequence of a state of being in which so much is shadowed forth while so little is accurately known. Our far-reaching thoughts range over the vast fields of created things without penetrating to the secret cause of the existence of even a blade of grass. We can analyze all substances that are brought into our crucibles, tell their combinations and tendencies, give a scientific history of their formation so far as it is connected with secondary facts, their properties, and their uses. But in each and all there is a latent natural cause that baffles all our inquiries and tells us that we are merely men. This is just as true in morals as in physics, no man living being equal to attaining the very faith that is necessary to his salvation without the special aid of the Spirit of the Godhead, and even with that mighty support, trusting implicitly for all that is connected with a future that we are taught to believe is eternal, to the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. In a word, this earthly probation of ours was intended for finite beings, in the sense of our present existence, leaving far more to be conjectured than is understood. Ignorance and superstition ever bear a close and even a mathematical relation to each other. The degrees of the one are regulated by the degrees of the other. He who knows the least believes the most, while he who has seen the most, without the intelligence to comprehend that which he has seen, feels, perhaps, the strongest inclination to refer those things which to him are mysteries, to the supernatural and marvelous. Sailors have been, from time immemorial, more disposed than men of their class on the land to indulge in this weakness, which is probably heightened by the circumstance of their living constantly and vividly in the presence of powers that menace equally their lives and their means, without being in any manner subject to their control. Spike, for a seaman of his degree of education, was not particularly addicted to the weakness to which we have just alluded. Nevertheless, he was not altogether free from it, and recent circumstances contributed to dispose him so much the more to admit a feeling which, like sin itself, is ever the most apt to insinuate itself at moments of extraordinary moral imbecility, and through the openings left by previous transgression. As his brig stood off from the light, the captain paced the deck, greatly disturbed by what had just passed, and unable to account for it. The boat of the Poughkeepsie was entirely concealed by the islet, and there existing no obvious motive for wishing to return, in order to come at the truth, not a thought to that effect, for one moment, crossed the mind of the smuggler. So far from this, indeed, were his wishes, that the Molly did not seem to him to go half as fast as usual, in his keen desire to get further and further from a spot where such strange incidents had occurred. As for the men forward, no argument was wanting to make them believe that something supernatural had just passed before their eyes. It was known to them all that Mulford had been left on a naked rock some 30 miles from that spot, and it was not easy to understand how he could now be at the Dry Tortugas, planted, as it might be, on purpose to show himself to the brig against the tower in the bright moonlight, like a picture hung up for his old shipmates to look at. Sombre were the tales that were related that night among them, many of which related to the sufferings of men abandoned on desert islands, and all of which bordered, more or less, on the supernatural. The crew connected the disappearance of the boat with Mulford's apparition, though the logical inference would have been that the body which required planks to transport it could scarcely be classed with anything of the world of spirits. The links in arguments, however, are seldom respected by the illiterate and vulgar, who jump to their conclusions in cases of the marvelous, much as politicians find an expression of the common mind in the prepared opinions of the few who speak for them, totally disregarding the dissenting silence of the million. While the men were first comparing their opinions on that which, to them, seemed to be so extraordinary, the Señor Montefaldaron joined the captain in his walk, and dropped into a discourse touching the events which had attended their departure from the haven of the Dry Tortugas. In this conversation, Don Juan most admirably preserved his countenance, as well as his self-command, effectually preventing the suspicion of any knowledge on his part that was not common to them both. "You did leave the port with the salutes observed," the Mexican commenced, with the slightest accent of a foreigner, or just enough to show that he was not speaking in his mother tongue. "Salutes paid..."